Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 8 through 12. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for what you're doing in the midst of your people. And so, Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Never Be Ashamed of Jesus, Our Savior. Never be ashamed. Because we're going to read Paul's final letter right now to Timothy. And he encouraged Timothy. One of the things that he highlighted is never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's pick it up with verse 8 through 12. And it reads, Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. You notice, see, he was in prison, huh? Paul was in prison writing this letter. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before time began. Man, when you get a hold of that, man, the lights turn on. Look at verse 10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is how we're saved, through the gospel. To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Thank God for Paul. He brought the message to us Gentiles. Verse 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Hallelujah. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Amen. Wow. Wow. There's a whole lot in this. And so let's dig in. Can I get amen? Come on. This is time to scoop it up. Let's get in it. Therefore, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. And so, saints, in this time, there was mounting persecution. Paul was apprehended. He was in prison when he wrote this. Timothy may have been struggling with fears as he continued to preach the gospel. His fears would have been based on fact. Believers were being arrested and executed. Against such opposition, Paul urged Timothy to never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. And that's an exhortation for us tonight. Never be ashamed. Can I get amen? Amen. And not to be ashamed that Paul sat in prison for his testimony. So one of the scriptures that heralds the person who Paul was. Because you got to remember, this man, at one time, he wanted to just eradicate the church. It was called the way. But when God, man, saved him, God used the same zeal that he had to persecute the church to win the church and to reach the lost. Oh, yes. And this is a mighty scripture right up here. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Listen, when we go and pray, when you guys go and pray with someone, the power comes. Hallelujah. It don't come from within us. It comes from above. Hallelujah. It's like a portal opens up and God just flows down and we are conduits. We're just vessels for his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing we can do. Hallelujah, man. We're broken people that he put together. We're like all the Humpty Dumpties. Come on, man. But he uses you and me. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Say that with me. Believes. We believe God. Can I get an amen? Look at this. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hold on right there. The just shall live by faith. Did you know that we are the just people? He's talking about us. You know why? Because once God saved us, he justified us, hallelujah, by the blood. Hallelujah. He made us, hallelujah, one of his. We're saved, hallelujah, by faith through Christ. And don't let anyone take that away from you. There's people that are going to try to rob you. And you know what? Rebuke that. They don't have no scripture to back it up. Hallelujah. The just shall live by faith. And that is us. Every day we wake up, man, we're living every day by faith, believing and trusting God for all things. Can I get an amen? Amen. Look what Isaiah said. He said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. I don't care what we go through, saints. God will always be with you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hold on. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the man says or what the man wants to do. Hallelujah. But God is with you. Hallelujah. He's able to destroy the enemies of the cross. Hallelujah. For you and for me. Can I get an amen? Look what Psalms, King David cried out. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Is that where your trust is? Is your trust in Christ? Amen. I believe so. I believe all of us, hallelujah, have that trust in Christ. Even though there are times where doubt and fear tries to sneak in. And as soon as doubt and fear sneak in, you got to bind it right there. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Don't let it come over your threshold of your heart. Hallelujah, because if he gets in, he will infiltrate your mind. That's what the enemy will do. But man, you have to rise up in faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. And believe God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Because when Jesus gets a hold of our lives, listen, how many truly believe that you have his peace? Come on, it's not like this either. You remember that old peace sign back in the day? Peace, love, Bobby Sherman? Oh, you don't remember Bobby Sherman, huh? Okay, that was way back before you. But let's look at this right up here. Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Do not be afraid. All kinds of madness is around. Man, they just went and shot up YouTube. It's mad. Come on. Every day someone's going, walking in and shooting up somebody. We live in a mad world. Can I get amen? We do. But God said, don't be afraid. Because God is with us. And look what we read last week. Right up here. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of what? A sound mind. Thank you, God. Saints, Paul was sure of God's hand in his present situation and that he was in prison for Christ. Man, can you actually journal and write a book while you're apprehended in prison? Especially in the conditions that they had. Listen, it wasn't Donovan's prison. Donovan's prison, man, they got man, flat-screen TVs. They got running showers, hot and cold. They got toilets they can go to. Here, they were chained up to one another, and it was rat-infested. Come on, they didn't have the hygiene that we are accustomed to. But yet, he still found a way to write these letters for us. Why? Because that was the love of God that was in him. And so Paul told Timothy to be ready to suffer. Eventually, Timothy would be jailed for preaching the gospel. And we know this because Hebrews gives us just a little hint. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Can I get an amen? Let's go to the next one right here. This is the Hebrew that I wanted. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free. See, he was in prison too. With whom I shall see if he comes shortly. I'll tell you, man, Timothy became a wonderful, awesome pastor during this time, because many came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this and we'll move on. God has called each and every one of us, and he's called us to do a work. And it may not be a Billy Graham type of ministry, but let me just say this. Everyone you share the gospel with is what God wants us to do. That's it. That's all it is. Yeah, you just share it with your neighbor. Share it with someone that you run into the store. Share it wherever you go. Be about our Father's business. If you're looking for the grandstand, think again. No, God wants to use you in the most simplistic ways. God's not a complicated God. He just wants to use you mightily wherever you go. And he will get the glory. Can I get amen? So let's go to verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before. Look, you hold on to this scripture right here. Before time began. Think about that for a moment. Listen, how many years have we been on this earth already? For me, this year, by the grace of God, come December, it'll be 60 years on this planet. So I don't know how old you are, and I don't need to know, but you know how old you are. Okay, so before you were conceived in your mother's womb, before time began, he already called us. So what are you worried about? If he already knew our destiny before he spoke everything into existence, there should be no worry. We should walk every day full of faith, saying, God, to God be the glory. And Lord, thank you for saving me, because prior to me getting saved, I didn't have a clue of and know who you were. And now that you have revealed yourself to us, to me, now I can glorify you, magnify you. Why? Because he called us before time began. Man, isn't that something? Look at this. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ before time began. Man, when you get a hold of that, man, God will just do something radical. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Listen, knowing that he has your back before you were even conceived, you got to know that the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. No matter what wars up against you, God already saw it coming, and he's already your defender. Can I get an amen? Come on. Listen, why are we still alive and praising him? Because his hand has been on us before time began. Come on. Come on, man, you got to get excited about this great salvation, because it's promised in the Word. Hallelujah. You know, someone can tell you a lot of good stories and fairy tales and what have you, but when it's written in the Word, you can take heed. God wrote it already. And now you can take it to the bank. So salvation, thank you, God. It forms the core of the gospel, the good news. There would be no gospel without the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and I, saints. God saved his people. God chose his people to live a holy life. God's purpose in salvation was to redeem people for himself. People who live their life to glorify him. So now, it was a mystery to you and I. Listen, I share this all the time. I got saved 28 years ago. Prior to that, I was just a heathen. Okay? I was walking around as an atheist, you know, not knowing that there was a real God. But look what Titus says up here Because he had to appear so that we can see for our eyes. Look at this. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So he had to come as a child. And he appeared to mankind 2,000 years ago. They actually felt him. They touched him. They heard him speak. So he had to appear. But not by works of righteousness, which we have done. He saved us because of his mercy. Hallelujah. Listen, there's nothing you and I could say, oh man, look, I'm sanctified, saved, Holy Ghost. Yeah, those are his benefits to you. But the bottom line, he had mercy for us. We didn't deserve this great salvation. None of us deserve it. Come on, go back to your past and go, man, was that really me? Yes, it was. Look at this. His mercy saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you so blessed, saints? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you know what? Never think that when he poured it out on us one time, oh, it's over. No, he poured on us abundantly. Look at this in the next verse right up here. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, meaning just as if we've never sinned. Can you fathom that? We wake up every morning and throughout a day, man, we may have a thought that, man, why am I thinking that? Or we may say something, do something, and we know that our actions sometimes don't line up with God's word. Listen, he looks at us now as just as if we've never sinned. Now, it doesn't give us a license to sin. No, I'm not saying that. What it does is that now we don't have any condemnation. Your mind will try to even condemn you. The devil will try to condemn you. Your neighbor may try to condemn you. Your family will try to condemn you. But you could rise up and face, hallelujah, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Because that's what it says right here, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Thank you, God. Oh, man. Listen, the word of God destroys all kinds of false doctrines out there. You know, there's this one doctrine that's out there. It's called universal salvation. And you know what that means? Universal salvation. That means I can come to God anytime I choose to get saved. Well, you got to slow your roll on that one. It's God's mercy that calls us. It's his grace. There's nothing we can do to get saved other than calling us, right? Why? I got word to back that up. Right up here. Let's go up right here in John. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed, God chose us. You didn't come one day, oh man, you know what? I'm just going to get saved today. Oh, think again. With all the junk in our trunk, oh yeah, I'm going to get saved today. He stopped us in our tracks. We were headed to hell in a handbasket. What people don't understand, why did he come? He didn't come just to give us joy and peace and love. That's a benefit. That's an attribute. That's the character of God. He came to save us from a fiery hell. And people now are trying to erase hell now. My goodness. Look at this. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And so when we go pray, when we go give, when we go love, and we go give someone hope, that's the fruit that he's looking for. Because now you know that this is not me. This is God. This is the Spirit of God in me. And so when you put your faith into action, guess what you're doing? You're bearing fruit. That's the fruit. And that the fruit should remain by the grace of God. I don't know how many years you've been walking with Christ. For by the grace of God, 28 years. He's kept me. He's kept me. He's kept me all by himself. He's kept you all by yourself. Why? Because the fruit will remain. If you're truly his, the fruit will remain. Can I get amen? A bad fruit cannot bear good fruit. It's rotten. You have to throw it away. You have an avocado tree, you're waiting 3 years, uproot it. Get rid of it. It's not bearing any fruit. Get one that will bear fruit. Can I get amen? Look at this. You should, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So now, if you're living for Christ and you're loving him and praising him, you know what? You don't even have to say anything to no one, and people will look at your life because you don't do and chew and do the things that you used to with them. They're going to hate you automatically. That's what God's word says. Look at this. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. What did they say? They said, crucify him, crucify him. And they wanted Barabbas. Barabbas was a murderer, a robber, a killer. And they wanted Jesus dead. Wow. Look at this. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. You know, the world loves, they love their own, man. They go out there, man, all these, do you know all these big old giant movements now? And they're all enemies to the cross because the world loves themselves. But if you're living for Christ, they're going to hate you. They're going to mock you. They're going to say, they'll make up things to say about you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Can I get an amen? Come on, man. We were out there doing our thing, man. And God said, I've chosen you. Come with me now. Pick up your cross and follow me. So that's what he did. He plucked us out of this world. And we think that he took us out of earth. No, he left us here, meaning the world system. And the culture of this world, that's what he took us out of. We don't do the things we used to do. Can I get amen? Aren't you so blessed you don't do the things you used to do? Hallelujah. Listen, your lives will should he tarry, your lives will continue to go to an elderly age. You know why? Because he's living inside of us. And he wants to use every second of your life to glorify him. He's going to keep you alive. He's the one that's going to keep us alive. Can I get amen? Amen? Look at this. But I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world, what? It hates. It hates. It just hates Christians. But you know what? Look at us that come out on Wednesdays, Sundays, and then not just our church, but all the churches that love God's word. Why do we come? Because God already said it in his word right up here. My sheep hear my voice. We're here because we love Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen. We love God. Because my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Listen, we all follow Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. Including the man behind this pulpit. We all follow Christ. Hallelujah. There's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. And I give them eternal. Look what Jesus says. I give them. Man cannot give this to us. Somebody's teaching can't give this to you. It comes out of the word of God. I give them eternal life, and they shall what? Never what? Well, wait a minute. You failed the test. So I'm going to have to let you go. Sorry. Is that what that says? What does never mean? Never. They shall never perish. Look at this. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Listen, if you can show me someone that can snatch you out of God's hand, I'll sign over my house right now. I'll sign it over. There's no one on this planet that can snatch you out of God's hand. Thank you, God. This is Jesus. Thank you, God. This is Jesus saying right out of his word. And yet people will fight you and say, oh man, you know, you can lose your salvation. You got to rebuke that man and bring the word and then say, don't argue with me, argue with Jesus. That's all I'm saying. Don't listen to what I have to say. Argue with God. Take it up with him. And guess what? You're going to find your arms are too short to box with God. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one's able to snatch them out of my hand. Oh, come on. What? No one's able to snatch them out of my hand. Well, look at this. I and my Father are what? One. Jesus says, when you see me, you see the Father. We shared that last Sunday morning, didn't we? Amen. Listen, saints. When God speaks of justification, sanctification, salvation, hallelujah, and the things that pertain to what he is doing, don't let man shake you up. Because the Word of God will stand all by itself. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to go to Bible cemetery or whatever it's called. Listen, you don't have to be some brainiac scholar. All you have to do is open up the scripture. And this is what God is saying. And get out of the way and let God speak all by himself with this scripture. And let them contend with the scripture. Can I get an amen? Because not only did Jesus say that, Paul, who was in Ephesus, now that place was radical. We've been to Ephesus. We went on a side trip when we went to Israel about 10 years ago. We went to Turkey. Ephesus is in Turkey. We saw the seven seats of Revelation, and then they pointed it out. We even saw the seat where Satan sat in Turkey. Oh, let me just say something that's prophetic right now. The one country that's rising up that we don't hear about is Erdogan. He's the ruler of Turkey. And he's part of Gog and Magog that's going to come and come down to Israel to overtake them. So all of a sudden, this is making more sense that the seat of Satan was right in Turkey. So it's very, very demonic. Why do I say it's demonic? Because it's all Muslim-based. And we know that's a false religion. Can I get amen? Amen. And so look at this. It says, no one's able to snatch them out of our hand. So when we were in Ephesus, Paul wrote in Ephesus right up here to the Ephesians church. Let's go to the next slide. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Listen, God has equipped us more than you can ever think. Come on. Everything. He has blessed us. He has equipped us. Man, when you walk in faith in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit at coming against you. Man, you got to believe in faith that God has given us the authority. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him. Look at that. He chose you. He chose me before the foundation. This is meaning before the whole world was spoken into existence. He already knew us. Come on. Man, you know, we're just human beings down here, man, walking around like doop-de-doos. And none of us had a clue. Before we got saved, none of us had a clue of what he already did for us. He marked your life before you were conceived in your mother's womb. He already knew us. Look at this. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, this is where the Arminian doctrine tries to use the scripture. That we should be holy without blame. Listen, I'm telling you, the moment you wake up in the morning, the moment you go to bed at night, throughout the course of that day, every one of us will struggle with maybe one or two ungodly thoughts that shouldn't be there. Our covetous heart, we may be somewhere and say, man, I want that real bad. And God is saying, no, I don't, you know, because we still live in a human body that's still sinful. So, how do we be holy and without blame before him in love? The blood. You see, we had to be washed in the blood. And so now when God looks down, he don't see our sin. He sees the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we cannot climb a ladder of perfection on this earth. We strive for perfection, but we will never be perfect. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so this is how we are blameless in love before him. It was his mercy, his grace, and his blood. Hallelujah. That it was applied to our life by faith. Oh, come on. You got to get a hold of this. You got to get a hold of this. Jesus, man, he's an awesome God. Can I get an amen? Look at this next verse. Having predestined us, he already preordained that he would adopt you. Come on. Listen, there's couples that pray for children and they can't have children for whatever medical reason. And so they go to an adoption agency and they look through all the books and all the kids. Some of them even go there personally to examine the kids. Can I get amen? Before God spoke the whole world into existence, he already saw us. I want that one, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one, and I want that one. And there was nothing you and I could do about it. Aren't you so blessed that you didn't have a hand in it? Because if our hand was in it, we'd mess it all up. He did it all by himself. Look at this. According to the good pleasure of his will. It was his good pleasure that he adopted us. We were just like, you ever go, and we're not dogs, but you ever go to a pet store and there's that little dog just wagging its tail and you're just looking by, oh man, that's so cute, I want this one. He already made a selection. He already knew our life. He saw our life from the beginning to the end. That's why he's the Alpha and the Omega. So he knows our life before we came into this world. And so it was his good pleasure that he chose you and you and you and you and you and me. He chose, why? Because you know what? Because our life now brings him glory. We praise him. We worship him. Listen, if you created something and made it come alive and then it started worshiping you, wouldn't that somehow touch your heart? And yet we cannot make nothing like that. But he made us, and now we're worshiping and praising our Creator. And we haven't even seen him face to face. Just his name alone, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That saved us. Look at this. He has made us accepted and beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood. We've been redeemed by the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Man, he was meticulous. He's a master sculpture. And we're still on the potter's wheel. And he's still flopping off things off us. Because he knows how to take care of us better than we can. Oh, yes. Come on, when you go to bed tonight, just know, oh, God, thank you. For some of you that are married, before you go to bed, say, thank you, God, for my spouse. And those of you that are single, thank you for my singlehood. Because you know why? Because I'm married to you right now. Come on. God takes care of all of us. In his own way, he takes care of all of us. Hallelujah. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all prudence and all. Hallelujah. Wisdom. Let's go to the next verse. Look at this. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. It was a mystery. Come on. Just go back in your BC years. How you used to curse God. Bleepity, bleepity, bleep. And then Jesus Christ would come out. Now when you hear that kind of language and Jesus comes out, it's like nails on a chalkboard. It's like, oh, no. It does hurt. It hurts. Man, you don't want to hear that no more. Why? Because he's living inside you. You have his heartbeat now. You have his life. And you're his. And you're sealed until the day of redemption. Look at this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. Listen, right there is a prophetic sign to us. Because how many of you have loved ones that are already have gone on to be with the Lord? Okay. Precious ones. And we're still here on earth, right? So, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, the church age is about ready to close its door. So he's going to come and gather the saints from the four corners of the earth. So guess what? That's why the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay, so it's the bodies that he's going to resurrect to be a body like his. But the soul and spirit is already with them, or with heaven, with him. So, did you catch that? Our loved ones are in heaven. They're there already. And so he's going to gather them. He's going to gather us from the earth. And he's going to give us our brand new bodies. Oh, my goodness. You got to get a hold of this. He did it for us. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that you didn't have to put in your debit card to buy this? Because none of us will have enough in there. Paul Gates money, President Trump money, can't buy this. Hallelujah. This is a free gift to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, because he's chosen us, because we are accepted in the beloved, because he has washed us, sanctified us, and blessed us, guess what he has given to us right here? In him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. I got to ask you this question. How can God disown you after he proclaimed this over your life? Have you asked yourself that? Let me just say this, because our love could never be agape love yet. So there's several types of love in the Greek, and the highest form is agape love. That's the love of God. He loves despite of us. He loves unconditionally. We put stipulations. Yes, we do. There's people, man, as soon as someone offends you, I'm not speaking that one no more. I'm gone. God don't do that to us. He don't do that to us. He don't do that. So we obtain an inheritance, meaning everything that heaven has proclaimed, it's yours. It's mine. And the inheritance is eternal life, to live forever with God. We will never, I heard it last week, we're just not going to disappear. I won't go there tonight. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Aren't you so blessed, saints? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Because when we got saved, it was like it was automatic. We trusted in him. I mean, when I got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, I didn't want nothing else but him. Because that's what God says right here in verse 13. In him you also trusted. Have you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed. Now, if you could get to heaven and unseal it, man, I'm telling you, you're greater than Superman. And if you could actually fathom the distance between earth and the third heaven, which the Hubble telescope can only go so far in the second heaven. Do you know that the universe is trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of light years? It's so vast, and yet God lives above that. He lives in the third heaven. My goodness, this is how awesome God is. You know, there are probably a trillion planets, and the Bible talks about only one planet that inhabits life. He created this earth for you and me. So he sealed us. In other words, it's a done deal. So when you have someone telling you, well, man, you know, you can still walk away from him. Really? Well, try to. He'll leave the 99 and go get you. He has provision in His Word. You cannot box God. You can't say checkmate on Him. Come on, you got to get a hold of it. Who is the guarantee? He's the guarantee of our inheritance. Come on. The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise. You know what that means? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, the down payment is inside of us, the Holy Ghost. So He has purchased us with His blood. He has given us His Spirit. Hallelujah. And then He's going to come back to redeem us.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Come on, man. Come on, man. Your Chase account can't do this.
Nope.
Come on. For some pobrecitos, their EBT card can't do this. They can't. Nothing can do that. Only God can, all by Himself. And there's no other God that sits next to Him. So you tell your theologian or someone that's trying to tell you, well, you know, God can take that away from you. Really? All you got to do, I'm not going to argue with you. You take it up with Him. Take it up with Him. And let them sort it out. God will speak to them. If they're a true child of God, God will speak to them. Salvation and holiness rely on the giver alone, and that's Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So we got two more verses to break down. We got about a good 10 minutes. Look at this. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is, once again, Paul writing to Timothy, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's through the gospel. It's not by somebody's book who wrote in some back alley. It's the gospel that saves us. The word. Look at that. To which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Aren't you so blessed? Because Paul wrote many letters, and one of the writings was found in Romans. Look at this. Now to him, verse 16, chapter 16 in Romans. Now to him who is able to establish you according to what? The gospel. In the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation, the mystery kept secret since the world began. It was a secret to us. And then guess what? When He adopted us, when He saved us, then He spoke to us and He revealed His secret to us. This is what I have done for you. You may have not even noticed this, but I'm telling you now, this is how much love I have for you. Aren't you so blessed that God loves you? And now, because of His love in verse 26, but now has been made what? Manifest. And by the prophetic scriptures. This, why does He call it prophetic scriptures? Because the Word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And God prophesies to us. Hallelujah. And the word of prophecy is that I'm coming back again to bring you home with me. Man, I'm telling you, when you get a hold of this, when you start digging deep, when you start pondering and you start just ingesting God's word, it'll come alive. It'll come alive. Saying salvation through Christ was planned by God since eternity, way back. It was made plain to people by the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So when Jesus came, when Mary brought forth a virgin baby, he wasn't tainted by the male seed. It was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed her. See, it's the male that passes on the sin seed. This is why sin is prevalent today. It hasn't been eradicated. Only God can wipe away our sins. And it had to be a holy God. It had to be a God that had no sin. That's why the Bible says, He who knew no sin became sin that we may obtain the righteousness of Christ. And that's what God accomplished on the cross. This is why we can walk around. You know, you'll run into friends, family, you'll run into the store and people will say hi to you. But you know what? They cannot see with their natural eye. They cannot see that your sin is gone. And that yet their sin still remains. Because the blood hasn't covered them. We're different. Not that we want to be above them, no. But once you're called and you're sanctified, and man, you're chosen by God, man, we can walk with a surety, with the assurance that this life now is temporal. And when it expires, we will be with Him. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Yes, because it was written. Titus wrote it down. Paul wrote to Titus. Did you know that? Paul wrote to Titus. He wrote to the Ephesians, to the Romans, to the Corinthians. Man, I'm telling you, Paul, man, I wonder what kind of typewriter he had. He wrote. Look what he wrote in Titus up here. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, has appeared to us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking, this is you and I. Now we can look for Him. Before, we weren't looking for Him, man. Man, we were looking for our next high. And now, we're looking for the Most High. Hallelujah. He's the Most High. Hallelujah. The blessed hope. That's right, the blessed hope. Look at this. We shall live soberly, righteously, godly in this present, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Man, if you're not looking for Him, man, you got to check yourself. Man, God, are you living in me? Because, man, I can't wait to see you. And why? Because look what He did for us. Look at this in the next verse. For who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. That's why when we go do the things that God's called us to do, we do it because we love Him and we're zealous for Him. Because the Spirit of God lives in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this. Speak these things. Exhort. Rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. You know, that Paul had to rebuke some of the apostles, some of the disciples, you know, because they got out of line. Listen, when God has given you authority, you have to bring order. Can I get an amen? There's got to be order or it's going to be out of order. And you can't sweep things under the carpet, man. You have to call them sometimes as they are. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And someone that is in ministry sometimes has to receive a rebuke. But you know what? The one that's receiving it should gracefully receive it and say, thank you, God. Now I can correct these things. Hallelujah. And I can still bring you glory. But some men, they'll receive a rebuke and they'll just run. Amen. Well, you guess what? When you go to the next church, you're still mad over there. And God's going to deal with you until you get it right with Him. Because the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Word of God over there will speak to you over there too. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So the Bible said, let no one despise you. So if they cut and run, let them cut and run. You know what? Don't let them despise you. Just keep doing what God's called you to do. That's all. And love them from afar. Just love them. Don't hold nothing against them. Why? Because you'll just chew off all your nails for no reason. Let it go. Let it go. Let go and let God. So this coming was in human form. Jesus came on this earth in a human body, preaching, teaching, healing, dying, and rising again. Aren't you so blessed? His becoming visible and touchable allowed humans access to Him in a way that had not been available from that moment. See, God spoke out of heaven, but none of them were able to see God. Remember, God told Moses, don't look at me. You will disintegrate. So when God would pass by Moses, all he saw was the hinder parts, like the train of his robe. If he would have saw God face to face, he would have died right there. Oh my gosh. So, for time's sake, let's move on to the last verse here. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul was determined. For those of you that will go see this movie, some of you have seen this movie, at the end of the day, when his time finally came, he just laid his head down, and the Bible says they lopped it off. But I want to believe this, because Jesus said that he has defeated the sting of death. Right before the sting came, he took him. He wasn't going to let his suffer like that. Because, oh, hallelujah, this just came to me right now. Because when Jesus was on the cross, okay, what did he say before he shut his eyes? He says, Father, take my spirit. He gave him, in other words, God took his spirit right there on the cross. And then his body expired. Let me just say this. Man, when it's time to go, hallelujah, and he should delay his coming, man, right before the sting comes, he's going to snatch us out of here.
Hallelujah.
You got to believe that. I've seen some lovely saints go in peace. They weren't suffering. Come on. And then I've shared it many times. I don't have time to go into it. But when Raul Reese came on the radio and went to go pray for that man who denied God all the way to his last breath, he went right into torment. My goodness. We serve an awesome God. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. And so Paul understood these three points right here. Look at this to Timothy. Paul knew that God would guard the souls of those converted through his preaching. I need you to leave tonight knowing that no matter what happens in our life, no matter where we go, that we are guarded by God. Amen. Can I get amen? Look at number two. Paul trusted God to guard his own soul until Christ's second coming. Come on. And even though he said, go ahead and take it now, he didn't resist. He laid it. God took him home. Number three, Paul was confident that though he was in prison and facing death, God would carry out the gospel ministry and guard the teaching through others such as Timothy. And guess what? 2,000 years went by, and we are now preaching what was given to the apostles. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We are still preaching what was given to them. Hallelujah. So it's like this. Tag, you're it. So we're it now. We're the last dispensation. Then Jesus will come. Wow. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed, saints? Aren't you so blessed, saints? Oh, man, aren't you so blessed? Hallelujah. That God's word, the word, but for deposit carries the meaning of placing valuables in the hands of a friend who would keep them safe while you are on a journey. So God has given us his word, and we treasure it now. Can I get amen? He has given us his spirit. We treasure it. He has given us his promises, and we treasure it. Keep it close to your heart. Hallelujah. Don't let the promises go. Come what may. Hallelujah. And we close with this scripture, Titus 3 and 8. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to emphasize these things so that those who have believed God will take care to devote themselves to good deeds. These things are excellent and profitable for the people of God. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for these wonderful saints that have come out tonight. Lord, they love you, God. They love to be in your word because they are growing. Hallelujah. The Bible says we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And we thank you, God, Thank you, Lord, for putting that hunger and righteousness for your word in our hearts. And Lord, that is a sign to us that you are alive and well in our soul. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, and those who couldn't make it tonight, bless them. We know it's tough sometimes to come out, but God, your grace is sufficient. And so, Lord, before we close, we want to give thanks and praise to you, God, for raising up Sister Deborah Michaela. Lord, when we went and saw her on Saturday, Lord, she couldn't even speak. And then we saw her on a photo on Monday, and she was sitting up laughing. Oh, God, you are merciful. Thank you for blessing her. Continue the healing in her body, God. And Lord, we lift up Christina Flores right now. Lord, I promised her sister that we would pray for her tonight. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you would raise her up out of that coma bed. Hallelujah. Lord, and I pray, God, Lord, that she would come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for their whole family, the Fierro family. I pray, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, that you would use this incident. Lord, that you would draw them close to you, oh God. For nothing has taken you by surprise. You know the beginning and the end of each and every one of us. 4-5 billion people on this planet and those who have already gone on. You knew all of us already. And so, God, go before us tonight. Save that family, God. Do whatever it takes to save that family. And, Lord, that we would be mindful to give you praise, glory, and honor. And we thank you, God, for what you did for Jennifer and Sean Burrow. Oh, God. I can't even imagine being in a coma for 31 days. Everything shut down, and you rose them up, God. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, for you are a miraculous God. And so, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your mighty works in our life. And I'm praying for those who may not know you tonight. And maybe you heard this message. Maybe someone shared the website with you, or maybe someone shared a link, or maybe you were just surfing the net. Maybe you were typing in the Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Grace popped up. And now you're listening to this message. And if that's you, you too can have a wonderful and awesome and great salvation. And all you have to do is just, by faith, ask God to save you. Ask God to wash you and cleanse you. Ask God to give you eternal life. Because his mighty outstretched hands are always there. So if he's speaking to your spirit right now, say this simple prayer. The prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ alone that'll save you. And so pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give them praise and glory in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-2. amazing-grace-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.